things of the Old Testament are given to us for a reason. The Bible says in Corinthians, they are given to us to be examples or examples of things that we need to learn from. Everybody agree with that? So they are written for our admonition, the Bible says. And then the scripture that has really worked in my mind for the last couple of months is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For it is God that worketh in us." God is working in you and I to do his good pleasure. He wants to make us what he's designed for us to be. He is working in us for his to do his will and his good pleasure. That's Philippians 2:13. And I am convinced that God loves his people. He loves his people. He has called us by name for a reason and for a purpose. And just an example of that is if you read in Job chapter 2, the Bible says there was a day, or there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. But you know what? Satan came also. And Satan was like, well, God said to Satan, "What have you been doing, Satan?" And Satan said, "Well, Lord, you know, God, I've been walking up and down the earth and just checking out all the sons of God and this, this, and this." And God says to Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? Have you noted him, how perfect and how upright he is?" But Satan says, "But he only loves you because you protect him and you give him everything." That's not the truth. Job loved God for who God was. So the Lord allowed the enemy, and we heard it this morning. Brother Josh spoke very well about the things that God allows to do things in our life. So God took away the protection from Job and he says, "You can do anything, but you can't take his life." And what did Job do? Curse God? No. "Though he slay me, yet I will praise him." And Joseph, you know, said, "I know my Redeemer." Or Job said, "I know my Redeemer lives." And that's the way we should be. So these examples of things that we go through are for our admonition. They're for our learning. So that's where I'm starting tonight. If you read in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and can I tell you something? I've been reading the Old Testament recently, and it's kind of come to life a little bit with me. But in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, it says, "Be of good courage. Be strong and courageous." There's so many times throughout chapter 1 it says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous." It says it so many times. And then in verse 9 he says, "Have not I commanded you to be strong and of a good courage? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever you go." Praise God for that. Wherever we go, he goes with us. Amen? Are you thankful that you have a God who goes with you wherever you go? Yes. Amen. Courage is the quality of mind and spirit enabling us to meet danger or face opposition or the challenges of life with fearlessness. Who lives in fear? We need courage to face life with a calmness, to say that no matter what happens to me, if this flight goes down, God is in control. Can we have that kind of peace and calm in our life every day? We should have, because our God knows where we are. I want to share tonight about the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. And we look into Numbers 13, starting at verse 30. It's an illustration of what happens when we lose our courage and we fail to follow through in obedience to the Lord. Starting at verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said," oh, and I could just see myself saying this, "the people are grizzling and grumbling, and Caleb, you know, he quietened all the people and he said, let's go up at once and possess the land because we are well able to go and conquer or to overcome. Verse 31, it says, but the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against these people. They're stronger than us. Verse 32 says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the Lord, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that saw in it were men of great stature. Verse 33 says, and this they saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giant side of probably the Goliath side of people. But they said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And tonight I am no grasshopper. Children of Israel had come out of Egypt and they were coming out of the wilderness. It would seem that they had been traveling around in this wilderness for 1 year when the spies were sent to have a look at the land. They could see the promised land. It was just over there. Because I understand that the travel time from Egypt to the promised land was just like a couple of weeks. Is that right, Sister Kim? I've heard that many times, 14, 15 days. And here they are already 1 year going around and going around. And it seems that the 12 spies were given 40 days to go in and look at the land and check it out. That's reconnaissance, I guess they call that. There were between, according to what I've read, 2 to 4 million people wandering around in the desert. They had come out of bondage, but they so soon were becoming discouraged and they started grumbling against God and against the leadership. They had complaint after complaint after complaint. God was providing for them, but they still were complaining. The 12 spies who were chosen to be sent into the promised land to check it out brought back a report, but only 2 brought back a good report. Who wants to tell me their name? Joshua and Caleb. Okay, what about the other 10? Do we know their names? No, because we don't really want to be associated with negative reports, do we? I only know one of them, Peltai. But all the 12 spies saw the giants. All 12 of them saw the giants. All 12 of them saw the size of the grapes, the bundles of grapes that took 2 men to carry them. All 12 of them saw that. All 12 of them saw the land that flowed with milk and honey. All 12 of them saw how good that land was. They all agreed that the land was pleasing to the sight. But the 10 saw entering into the promised land was a trap. Too many obstacles. Oh, but there are giants. The sons of Anak are there. And I heard Brother Tenney said, if you've got Anakins in your life, spread them on your toast. If you have those sons of Anak, if you have giants, spread them on your toast, he said. They were all happy to talk about the land of milk and honey, but they saw themselves, 10 of them, saw themselves as grasshoppers. What we receive or don't receive depends a lot on our mindset. It matters what we confess. It matters what we think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think yourself to be a grasshopper, you'll be a grasshopper in the sight of all your trials. When we think about what the Word of God says, do you think about what it says when it says, I am a child of God? Do you confess that I am a child of the King of heaven and earth? Do you confess that my father owns the cattle on a thousand hills? It doesn't matter how poor you think you are richer than the poorest person in this world. Our father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And I can tell you tonight, if you needed money, he would provide it for you. I have seen time and time again the hand of God provide when there are needs. Do you confess that you are more than a conqueror? Why are we more than conquerors? Through him who loved us, not in our own strength, but through him who loved us and gave himself for us. If you see yourself as a loser, you will be a loser because you will not try and be anything better than a loser. Tonight we are not losers. We are on the winning team. I've read the back of the book and guess what? It tells me I am more than a conqueror and I am going to a city that is made for us. Amen. If you see yourself as you can do all things, you will give him glory. Because nothing is impossible if you and God are in partnership together. I want to go back a little bit and see where this type of thinking came from with the 10 and the rest that were grumbling and grizzling. If you go back, they came out of 400 years of slavery, but they had a God who had brought them out of slavery, and yet they still grizzled and grumbled. Yes, they were in bondage, but they were still trapped emotionally. They had come out of Egypt, as it were. They had come out, but they were trapped emotionally. And that's what happens with many of us. We have not allowed God to renew our mind. We are trapped emotionally. Physically released, they had been released from the tormentors and the Egyptians. And many of us have been released from the things of the past. When we were baptized in the name of Jesus, we rose and walked in newness of life. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are released by the power of God. But we have to believe what the Word of God says. The Egyptians, the children of Israel, they had seen their tormentors drowned in the Red Sea. They had seen how God had led them by day with the cloud, and they had seen the pillar of fire by night. They were still trapped emotionally, which meant they saw themselves as grasshoppers. They had a grasshopper mentality. I tried to look up to see whether grasshoppers have minds, but I've left that one alone. This land before them is the land that they had dreamed of. They had talked about it with their children. When we go over into the promised land, we'll be free. We will do this and we will do that and there'll be this and there'll be that. They talked about going into this promised land, but they were still trapped in Egypt. Released emotionally, released physically, but emotionally still trapped. When you look in Numbers 14, they're discontented and they began to grumble because, and we heard it this morning, about God maybe not providing everything they wanted. They even said, let's make ourselves a different leader. Someone who would take us back to where we came from. You know, they desired, the Bible says, the leeks and the onions and the garlics. They wanted to go back to what they knew. They wanted to go back to familiar territory. They even took up stones to stone Caleb and Joshua because they brought a great report. No, no, we're not going to listen to that. We're not going to listen to the positive preaching of the Word of God. Some of us think like that. Just leave me in my comfort zone. But tonight I want to get you out of your comfort zone because we have an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled in the kingdom of heaven. It is for us. Amen. As they went past the Red Sea, Moses reminded them to look at their enemies. He said, look at their faces. From this day forward, Moses said, you'll see your enemies no more. And for us who have given our life to Jesus, if we have repented from our sins and been baptized in his wonderful name and filled with the Holy Ghost, we will not have to face our enemies any longer, because we are more than a conqueror, because he loved us and he gave himself for us. For many of us, our battle is in the mind. We see ourselves as grasshoppers. To many of us, our past is like a giant trying to hold us back. But tonight we are released from our past. Jesus went to the cross. He overcame. And our enemies were destroyed. But the battle for many of us is still in our mind, thinking ourselves as grasshoppers, only in our own thinking. If you are thinking you're a grasshopper, this world will tell you you'll amount to nothing. You may as well give up, they say. It doesn't matter what statistics say. God is raising up a church, and we are the church. It's not a building, it's us, it's we, the children of God, and we are going to be a conquering church, and we are an overcoming church, a church that is full of men and women and young people who will stand in the face of all trials or giants and proclaim the name of Jesus. God will have an overcoming church because he is an overcomer. And we are overcomers. Romans 12 says we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I understand that Romans 12 was written to the church at Rome. Am I right? Yes. They were having trouble with their thinking. So it's not unusual that some of us will have trouble with our thinking. But the Word of God says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to read the Word of God. We need to believe the Word of God. When the Word of God says you are his child, do you believe that? When the Word of God says you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you, do you believe that? Or is that for somebody else? I am simple enough to say to you tonight, when I read the Word of God, it says, I am his child and I am his beloved. I'm simple enough to believe it. I am his child. He knows my number. He knows where I am. He goes with me whithersoever I go. And I thank him for that. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? Greater. Turn to your neighbor and say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. I can just imagine Caleb saying to everybody else, well, you might be a grasshopper, but I am an overcomer. I am a champion. I can just see it. And God has created us for more than a grasshopper spirit. Caleb and Joshua, the Bible talks about them having a different mindset. It says they had a well-able spirit. And we need that well-able spirit. We are well able to overcome this trial that I'm going through. There's a song that they used to sing, this trial I'm going through, it's not going to last forever, because season after season after season. And that's a promise from the Word of God. Yes, the devil is not going to defeat us. Are we going to take that stand? No, the devil is not going to take my family. The devil is not going to destroy my health and my testimony. We need to start to confess the positive things that God has done for us. We need to have that well-able spirit, that conquering spirit that says, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved us. It is not in our own strength, brothers and sisters. It's because he has filled us with his Holy Spirit and he is interested in that conquering church. Yes, they had all experienced the same as the other 10 spies while they were in Egypt. They, Joshua and Caleb, had experienced the same pain that everybody had experienced. They had experienced the same hardship as everybody else experienced. They had the same famine. They saw and they knew everything the same as everybody else. What was different about them? You know what it was? Because they were fully following the Lord and they were fully persuaded. Are we fully following the Lord and fully persuaded? If we're not, that's where the grasshopper spirit comes in, or the mentality. Sometimes the enemy will come to us and say, oh, yes, there's been victory in your life, but it's only a matter of time and you'll go back. We don't have to listen to those sort of voices. When it doesn't mean it will only be a matter of time, and the enemy will come and say, oh, the struggles that you once had, you'll go through those struggles again. It doesn't have to be like that. Your old addictions, yes, you've got a great release tonight at the altar, but you know, it'll only be a matter of time and those addictions will come back. That is listening to the wrong voice. Your fears, your depressions, they'll envelop you again. I say to you tonight, if addiction has plagued your family, if bitterness and hatred has been plaguing your family, if abuse has plagued your family, if mediocrity has plagued your family and your life, then tonight, today, we need to change our thinking. God doesn't intend for us to live in the fear of the past, but the promise of God is for now and for the future. It doesn't matter what the situation appears to be. It doesn't matter what circumstances are. If you have the promise of God, He will be with you whithersoever you go. He said that. You see, it is God's word, not circumstances or situations, that should control our actions. God's word, not circumstances or situations. When Joseph was in that pit, that would have looked terrible for him. But that didn't change his thinking toward God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. We are children of God, and we are more than just a number. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So tonight we need to change our thinking. And I'm going to say it because my husband's not here. We need to get rid of our stinking thinking. All right? It doesn't matter. The Bible tells us that we are more than a conqueror through Him who loved us. So we need to get rid of our thinking that we can't do these things. And of course, there will be giants that come against us, but we are not grasshoppers. We are more than grasshoppers. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for you, Michelle, who can be against you? If you are fully following and fully persuaded about God, then who can be against us? The fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now unto him that is able, listen to this, to do. Come on, what's the word? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even ask or think. And I can think big, but my God is able to do bigger than my thinking. Exceedingly bigger than my thinking. He knows the way that I take, and when He has finished with me, I shall come forth as gold. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Jude it says He's going to present us in His presence with exceeding joy. He wants to take joy in His children. Isaiah 40, and I know you all know this scripture. They that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord. They that go into the presence of the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. And we need to get some of that attitude in our life. No enemy, no sickness, no trial, nothing that the enemy sends my way will destroy me. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. It doesn't mean it won't hurt, but I will not be defeated by these things. I am not a grasshopper, I am an overcomer. And I love this. When the children of Israel came into the promised land some 40 years later, Joshua was given the job to break up and divide the land. And he said to, and Caleb said, Caleb is 40 years older now, so now he's around about 85 years old. He said to Joshua, give me the mountains. Oh, yes, give me. Sounds like I could be a Caleb. Give me the mountains. Yes, my physical eyes may have grown dim, but I still have a vision that I am going to possess the mountains. They're rough, they're rugged. Come on, you can do it easier than that. No, Caleb says, I am more than a conqueror. Amen. Church of God, God has given you dreams. Each one of us is given dreams and visions. And yes, there was a time when you were excited about the challenge, right? Have you had a vision? Have you had a dream of what you would like to be and do in the kingdom of God? I ask you tonight, what was it? Why would you settle for the easy life? Be like Caleb and say, give me those mountains. Give me those mountains. I can conquer. Caleb said, I may be 85 years, but I'm vigorous, I'm strong, and I'm ready to go. God is not finished with us yet. He's giving you new, fresh, and brighter visions. Caleb didn't let his age stop him from taking mountains. So young people, you got mountains in your life. You got trials in your life. Don't let your age stop you. Older people, and I look around and I think I may be one of the oldest ones, but no mountain is going to conquer me. I am an overcomer. Give me the trials, Lord, so that I can prove how strong you are. Zechariah says, it's not by might. It's not by our own strength. It's not by my own power, but it's by his spirit, says the Lord. Caleb's faith never failed. He kept the faith. Caleb's vision never dimmed. Caleb's strength never weakened. Caleb's victory was complete. And if you read in Joshua chapter 15, it says he succeeded. He conquered his mountains. Joshua and Caleb were strong. They were courageous. They were assured because they fully persuaded and they fully followed the Lord. They were confident. They were bold in their faith and trust in God. And they, like Paul, could say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I've kept the faith. What about us tonight? Can we say that? I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And I was looking up and doing this, and if the musicians would like to come, I just want to read a little story to you that really meant something. And I'm sure some of you have heard this before. There was a man, he was traveling with an animal trainer in the circus. And as they passed through the area where they kept the elephants, there was a little baby elephant that weighed about 150 kilos. It had a rope around its leg tied to a stake, and all it did was walk back and forth all day long. It's 150 kilo elephant. Now, I saw elephants in Kenya. One little rope and one little stake would not hold a 150 kilo elephant. They went on a few feet away, and there was a big 10-ton elephant. Ginormic. Look at the size of it. This elephant had a chain around its legs. His leg was chained to a stake in the ground, just like the small elephant. And like the small elephant, the big 10-ton elephant, all he did was walk back and forth. Just held by a chain and a stake. The man asked the trainer, why does that elephant not just pull up the stake and run away? The trainer said that when the 10-ton elephant was the size of the small elephant, he was tied to a stake. You see, elephants are very smart, and it's etched into their mind that he can't pull up the stake even though he's bigger than he used to be. If we as the children of God ever realize the potential that is locked up inside of us so many times because of our stinking thinking, if ever we realized how strong he could never have kept, that stake would never have kept him. And there, if we would ever realize who we are in God, no stake, no enemy, no giant would ever keep us from reaching our potential. We have the very power of God living inside of us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we need to wise up and realize that we have His power and His strength to take our mountains. Brothers and sisters, tonight, there is no giant that cannot be defeated at the name of Jesus. Because every enemy in time will have to bow the knee at the name of Jesus.